We all have our regular routines. Maybe one of your routines is going to a coffee shop in the morning. It was one listener's routine until everything changed one day when they showed up at the regular coffee shop and things weren't quite right. What happened? Where did the people go? And who were they to begin with? Find out in EPP bonus episode number 51 of Real Ghost Stories Online.
You won't forget this one.
Creepy, creepy story. You'll have access to that one in all of our bonus episodes when you sign up at Real Ghost Stories Online to become an EPP, an extra podcast person. Keeps our show on the air, and you can enjoy all of these member-exclusive bonus episodes. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com, and thanks.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hello and welcome to another episode of our little ghost program here, Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. And how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm ready to hear some ghost stories. It's open lines today at 855-853-4802. And looking forward to hearing all of the stories that we have coming to us. Got a very interesting picture I'm going to put up in our gallery section at realghoststoriesonline.com. It was sent to us, and I'm trying to load it again right now, and the internet's like running ridiculously slow for whatever reason. It's a campfire photo. You know, people take pictures of the campfire.
Yeah.
And it's not anything where there's like, ooh, what's that smoky thing going on? It's like, it's campfire smoke. It's actually the way that the wood burned on this photo that someone took the picture of. And they said they didn't realize it until they got home and looked at their pictures. They were just taking a campfire photo. And it looks like a skull.
Ew.
It's like a face came out of the wood as it burned. And it looks like there's a skull in this campfire.
That's really cool.
And it's really creepy. There's no paranormal story attached to it. Like, nothing happened. Flames didn't jump out and kill everyone that was, you know, sitting around singing ghost stories or singing songs and telling ghost stories. It just was a creepy photo.
That's funny.
Do you ever have that where, you know, something will take the shape of something else and really just kind of freak you out and you don't really realize it?
I don't think I've had that happen. You mean in a photo or just in general?
Or just in general. I mean, it could be a photo. It could be anything. I see Facebook, something went wrong. It looks like Facebook crashed as we're recording this.
It did.
Because is it not working on your end too?
Yeah, it was down about 45 minutes ago.
Damn. Okay, well, I will get this photo up at some point or another once I can access it again. Because right now, Facebook's like it's on the screen of death. So.
Have you ever had something look like it was something other than what it was?
Just going back to childhood, there was, I remember one night, just my imagination running wild and thinking that everything in my room was something else. I had like it was like a music box that I had got when I was like a baby, and it was up on one of my, it was on that shelf right over there.
Okay.
Because the shelf that's in this office here, it's like, it's been in my life forever. It was in above my bed. It was next to my bed. It's been all over every place I've ever lived. And now it's sitting next to the studio. But I had stuff up on that. And there was like a pendant out. You know like the sports pendants?
Yeah, the long skinny triangle.
Yes. The pendant was sticking out. The way that this music box was shaped resembled more of like the top to a face.
Okay.
And there was like something else that kind of made it look like there was a hat there. It looked like a witch hat with a nose pointing out with the pendant, and just the shadow of it, I remember thinking, oh my god, granted I was like five, but that's really about it. I didn't really have anything else that I can think of that comes to mind that's been any other weird shape.
Mm-hmm.
It's always interesting, you know, go to the beach or something, you know, driftwood and stuff like that. Sometimes you can find some interesting stuff. But this skull picture, once I can access it again, it was pretty, like, wow, that is creepy. So anyway, that'll go up on our gallery section. And go check out the gallery at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can see all sorts of really creepy photos that have been sent into us over the years here at Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802, our phone number to call in and share your real ghost story. Let's go to our first caller, Manuel in California. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Manuel from Northern California. I called a few stories, and I wanted to thank Jenny for giving me some tips on the street light interference phenomenon. I looked it up and found a lot of good information. Anyway, this story takes place probably about 12 to 15 years ago. when my son was very little, when he started first grade, he made some friends, and we actually became friends with his friends' families. There was my son and two other kids. I won't use names because out of respect for the families, because this involves one of the fathers who passed away that I was very close with. But the kids became, you know, good friends, and we all became good friends, and we started, you know, having barbecues over each other's house. And my buddy, I'll use an alias name out of, like I said, respect for his family. We'll call him Rudy. But I'm self-employed, and this guy was starting a business, and I have a sign company, so that's what I do for a living. So all the other businesses would always come to me for their signs. And we became good friends, and also, you know, we started doing some work together. And I had a little shop in my town right on San Pablo Avenue, the main thoroughfare. And during the day, every once in a while, he'd come by for, Rudy would come by. You know, I'd put lettering on his trucks, or he'd come by for little advertising things I did for him. And when he would, my doors at my shop at the time, there were these old-style barn doors that opened up, and I wouldn't always open them all the way up because, you know, we use computers, and the glare would kind of dim the screen. So I would just open them maybe partially, you know, maybe three-quarters of the way. I had a little thing to lock it so they couldn't swing open. And he was a jokester. He was always coming by telling me jokes, and I just absolutely love the guy. But he would pull up, and then he would creep over, and he would peek in the door, see where I was, and he'd go, "Manny." He always called me Manny. "Hey, Manny." And he would, and then, I'd know it was him, and I'd turn around, he wouldn't be there, and then he'd come in the side door or something. He was just a really funny, good-natured, loving person. And, you know, our friendship grew, our families grew, and we started spending a lot of time, you know, the two families together. And my buddy Rudy had a problem in his family. His father had died of pancreatic cancer at 40. His grandfather had died around in his early 40s of pancreatic cancer. And his biggest fear in life was that he would develop pancreatic cancer for some, I don't know if it was a genetic thing or whatever, but he was such a virile, healthy guy. I used to always reassure him, "Oh, it's going to be fine. This is never going to happen to you. Don't even worry about it." Well, one day he came into my shop and he was complaining about a pain he had, and he was freaked out. And, you know, I calmed him down, gave him a Motrin, and said, "That's going to be fine. You don't have cancer. Don't worry about it." Well, as time went by, it turns out that he did have cancer, and we both had Kaiser for our medical, and my doctor just happened to be his doctor. And I went in for my annual physical, and I talked to my doctor about him, and he basically told me that he wasn't going to make it. And it was a very sad time. Everybody, you know, we did everything we could to try to save him, even, you know, Laetril treatments that are not even legal in California. We had to drive him out. Anyway, so he made it to his 40th birthday. He had pancreatic cancer, and we had a 24-hour vigil at his house. Everybody would go over there after work every night, and we would just stay with them. We'd bring dinner. I mean, it was actually a very beautiful thing. I mean, it brought a lot of people close together. And then one night on the way over there, we got a call, said that he finally passed, and it was very sad. He had young children. It was a big hole in my life and my family's. So anyway, we went to the funeral. Everything was done. It was about a week later, and I've always had problems sleeping. And the house that we lived in at the time was kind of a weird. It was an old house, and the bedrooms were right off of the living room. My son's room was on one side, and our room was on the other side. And my wife had went to bed, and my son had went to bed, and I was sitting up watching TV. And, you know, I was just watching a program, sitting there, and I heard, just clear as a bell, I heard, "Manny." And it freaked me out. It really, you know, and I thought to myself, "God, it sounded just like Lou." But, you know, you know, I just had to compose myself and I calm myself down. I said, "Ah, you're just, you know, it's late, whatever." Start watching TV again, and then I heard it again, "Manny." It's like, you know, it was a torn thing, because I felt like he's trying to talk to me, but it's freaking me out. It's scaring me. You know what I mean? I didn't know how to handle it, so I brushed it aside again, and then I heard it again, and I got up, and I went in, and I woke my wife up, and I said, "Hey, are you calling me?" And she was dead asleep. She was out, and she woke up out of a dead sleep, and I told her, she goes, "Don't worry, it's probably just Louie," and that really freaked me out. I said, "Oh, I really didn't know how to handle that. It really scared me," and I said, "Don't say that." You know, I got kind of upset. I went back into the living room, and now I'm wide, you know, I'm really on alert. I mean, the adrenaline's pumping, and I'm sitting there, and I'm scared, you know. And I calm myself down. I start watching TV again, and I hear it again. "Hey, Manny." And I stood up in the middle of the room, and I said, "Rudy, if you need to talk to me, if you have a message for me, you need to tell me in the middle of the day or early in the morning when I'm at the shop by myself, but not at night. You're going to give me a heart attack." And I said that, and I sat back down, and I never heard another word that night. And then I never heard anything ever again. And to this day, it really breaks my heart. I wish I would have manned up a little better, and if he had a message for me or something, you know, because we were very close. It's still, to this day, it's heavy on my heart. But, you know, I didn't have the courage at the time. You know what I mean? It just really scared me, freaked me out. Anyway, that's my story. I have another one that's very similar about my father-in-law, but I know this one drug on kind of long. Anyway, thanks a lot, guys. Bye now.
Thanks for calling in and sharing that experience with us. I don't think he really... I understand, you know, looking back on it going, damn, I wish I would have handled that differently. But when you're in that situation, it's very, you know, hindsight's 20/20.
Yeah.
To look back and be like, oh, yeah, if I would have just been, you know, I challenge anyone again to suddenly have that experience to handle it that differently.
I think the whole message was conveyed with just, "Hey, Manny."
Mm-hmm.
I think it was meant to be that I can still, you know, be part of everybody's life on
sure.
the other side. And it wasn't meant to be like, "I'm getting your attention because I have a further message." It was just
sure.
that was the message. And once he got confirmation that you heard him, I think he was done. I think that's all he really wanted.
That might have just been it.
Yeah.
Just, "Hey, I am still here."
Yeah.
"And I'm watching you every day in your home."
No.
That's part of the message.
No, I think that was it. He just wanted confirmation that you could hear him.
And now he's aware that you heard him because he's listening to our show on the Ghost Podcast app that only deceased people can get.
That's not nice.
No, he is. He's one of the listeners.
There is not such a thing.
How do you know? You're not on that side.
Anyway.
We have had people claim that they have dead people listening to our show.
Yes.
So it's not that. This is not a Tony concept. It really is not.
Okay.
If you're new to listening to the show, which there's a lot of people who have listened, you know, forever, and there's some new folks coming in for the Halloween season, but we actually have. There has been stories on this show of people. I mean, how is it tied together? Where it's been, they've said something on a call, and then the ghost did. How this it has intermingled.
Yeah.
Where they believe that they have confirmed that there is in fact a ghost listening to the show. There was a Sarah stories a while back.
Yeah, and they, you know, said that she would listen to
okay.
the show with them.
Okay.
But then there was others where it seemed like they were using our show to get messages to loved ones.
Yeah, very interesting stuff, the way that some of that works. So anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please help keep us on the air. The way this show is supported is with our EPPs. It's Extra Podcast People. Gives you an extra show every week. Access to all of our previous bonus episodes, packed with some of our best episodes, and it's only $5 a month. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, because this show goes on year-round, in case you're new to it. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Anna, and I just want to say I love your show. I listen to it every day at work, but I'm going to try and make this fast, because this is the second time I've recorded it, since it took too long. So, My Aunt Paula passed away in 91. She was 20 years old. I am currently 20 years old, and I just felt like I needed someone to talk to really bad one day. You know, I struggle with depression, and I have a son who's going to be one on the 18th of October this year. And I needed someone to talk to, so I went to her, and I was telling her how I was feeling. Her fiance's dad actually passed away 2 days prior to me going there, so I told her about Vince's dad, and I just had a conversation with her for 20 minutes. You know, I went back to work afterwards. I felt better, but I didn't really overly think about it. So fast forward to that night, and my boyfriend and I, my son's father, we went out to go have a cigarette. And we come back in the house, and the way our house is set up is our room is directly attached from the living room. And we live with his mother, who has cancer, and she helps us with the baby as much as we help her, like doing laundry, yada yada. Well, she was already in bed, and Ryan went in first to go brush his teeth, and as soon as I walked in, the lamp just flickered on and off. I was like, all right, well, whatever. And I walked past the lamp into our room to go check on our son, and, you know, he was sleeping, and as soon as I turned around to go exit the room, the lamp flickered again. So I was kind of freaked out, but I didn't say anything. So then I went into the bathroom to go brush my teeth, and as soon as we came out, Alex was crying. So I told Ryan, I said, okay, I'll change him if you want to make a bottle. So that's what happened. And as Ryan was laying him down, because I handed him off to him, as Ryan was laying him down, we had a balloon, a get well balloon, on the table for his mother, and it crinkled, went backwards. All three of our cats were just staring at it, and it just moved by itself. There was no wind. It had an indent in it, and I freaked out. So I would not go to bed, and I made him stay up with me, and we watched Netflix. And then 20 minutes later, we were like, whatever, let's just go have another cigarette. And as soon as we came back in, he was facing me and he kissed me, and as soon as I opened my eyes from kissing him, I swear my Aunt Paula was standing there right next to our bedroom door, just smiling at me. It wasn't a smile like sinister or evil. It was like a everything's going to be okay smile, and I just burst into tears. I lost it. And he didn't know what was going on. I didn't even tell him. I went to the cemetery. And after, you know, I told him everything, he's like, you know, I think she just came back and tried to get your attention, and she wanted you to know that it's going to be okay, and that if you ever need to talk, she's there for you to listen to. And it was a very, very nice feeling. And I hope you guys liked my story. And I have gone and talked to her a couple more times, but nothing else has happened like that. But she was there for a second, and she was gone, and it's going to stay with me the rest of my life. Well, you have a good day, and thank you for listening to my story. Bye.
You know, we've had several stories of entities using balloons to do things. Like, you know, there was one story a while back, probably over a year ago, where this balloon literally followed the woman around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
And I think we've had a couple of others. And I think it's probably because they're so easily manipulated.
I would think so. And sometimes, which is, it's a newer thing that we're getting here on the show, sometimes we're getting ghosts that are using edible arrangements for communicating.
You are just off the wall today.
I'm just thinking things you send to people. Balloons,
okay.
Flowers, edible arrangements. That's the newer thing, you know. Suddenly people are getting a lot of pineapple and grapes in weird shapes and orders.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to figure out grape, melon. It's like Morse code, exactly what's going on.
Okay.
The skewers. And when they go and try and track down, where did this come from? The lines are all disconnected. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over to, let's do Brittany in California. Hi.
Hi, Tony, Jenny. My name is Brittany. I'm from California. I was just listening to the episode Afraid of the Dark and the story about the mom whose daughters were being visited by a fairy. It reminded me of something that happened to me when I was probably about 5, 6, and it stood out in my mind till today, and it still scares me till this day. So to just jump into it, I was sleeping in our room with my brother and my sister. We are all really close in age. And I woke up and I thought I was dreaming because the whole room was red. And above the door was a man who basically was all red, and he had a face like the devil, basically. And sorry, it makes me nervous to think about it. So I'm rubbing my eyes and I'm trying to tell myself, you know, no, you're just dreaming, go back to sleep. But then it starts talking. And it tells me, oh, why don't you come with me? I'm your dad. You know, don't be afraid. I'm your dad. I'm not going to hurt you. Just come with me. And I told him, like, you're not my dad. You don't look like my dad. No, I'm your dad. So you can come with me. And I told him, no, I don't think so. You can't be my dad. Like, I just saw my dad earlier in the day. My parents were separated, so I just saw my dad. I was like, no, I don't think so. And then he got mad because I didn't want to go with him. So I reached over and I shook my sister to wake her up. And she just told me, oh, go back to sleep, you're dreaming. And I told her, no, Heather, you need to wake up. Wake up. And she didn't want to wake up. And he was right in the above the doorway, so it's not like I could run out and go wake my mom up or wake her boyfriend up or anything like that. So I just had to sit there while he watched me all night until I fell back to sleep. And, you know, it's really hard to, you know, when you're scared and you're little, to stay awake and, you know, and try not to fall asleep at the same time because you're scared and you have this red, like, I guess, like the devil, when, you know, when you're younger, you don't really know what it was, but now looking back as I'm older, I do think that it was something trying to take me away from my mom. You know, it could have been my living situation, but I never told anybody about it because I always thought everyone would think I was just crazy. And then, you know, the fact that my sister didn't want to wake up, it was hard because, you know, I don't have her to say, yes, this really happened. No, it didn't happen. But I can picture his face to this day, and it did not look like my dad. It had horns, and it had high cheekbones, and just red skin, and the most, like, oddly friendly smile with really pretty teeth. I can picture that to this day. And, you know, granted, I didn't go with him because I knew he wasn't my dad. The feeling of uneasiness, you know, and plus, like I said, I just saw my dad that day. But that pretty much sums it up, because I can probably just ramble on and describe this thing more and more, and it just kind of creeps me out. I'm driving right now. I listen to your show when I drive to work. You know, I listen to you guys on my lunchtime, and right now just thinking about everything just gives me the creeps. So I'm just going to come to a close, and I do have more stories about the things that I've seen and things that I've felt and things that have happened to me, and maybe I will hear a story that will give me some courage to call in, just like that fairy story did this one. Thank you, guys. I love your show. Bye.
I think she's thinking that that was a fairy because it tried to lure her away.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that that was a fairy. I think maybe that was just something dark.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a fairy necessarily to lure you away.
No.
It can be anything. But my question is, lure her away, but then take her where? Where exactly? What's the plans?
I don't know.
That's the, you know, it's one of those things where, because you hear that sometimes where people are like, I think they was trying to get me to go somewhere, but where exactly do they go?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Is it working in tandem with a human being?
See, I wonder if when it's luring a child away like that,
mm-hmm.
if it just gets the child out in a situation where it could, you know, get hurt, get lost.
Other things can take their course.
Yes.
If you will.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Just put it into a bad situation.
Yeah.
Where the child's not going to know what to do. Yeah. Interesting thought. Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. We do appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's get another caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. My name is Chris, and I am from Springfield, Missouri. I've been listening to your show for about 3 months now. I listen just about every single day that I'm at work, but my headphones are working properly. I'm still working on catching up on the backlog, but I try to listen to a recent episode every single day. I have one story for you from when I was younger, about 12 years ago. I grew up in the country outside of Springfield, and the house that I lived in was built for my family before we even moved in. And when I was around 11 years old, I remember being upstairs in my living room, playing a video game, doing something along those lines. It was about 2:30 in the morning. I was the only one in the house that was awake. And I remember that I had to get up and go to the bathroom. So naturally, I went and did my business. And I knew that I forgot to turn the light out, but I figured I would go back in there eventually, that I would turn it back off next time. I went and continued to play my game and realized that a couple minutes later, the light had turned off by itself. I thought maybe the light bulb had just burnt out or something along those lines. So I went in there to check it, and I noticed that the light switch had flicked down. Getting just a little bit curious, I flipped the light switch back up to see what would happen as I turned and walked out. Not even 5 seconds after I turned and walked away, the light switch went back off. And I went back in there just to make sure again, and lo and behold, the light was off. I was pretty freaked out at this point. I mean, it was very early in the morning, late in the night. I'm sure I was suffering from being super tired, and maybe my mind was just playing tricks on me. But I remember that at this point, I was pretty frightened, so I shut my game off, I turned all the lights off, and I ran downstairs into my parents' room. And I closed the door behind me and laid on the floor. Not even a couple minutes that I was laying on the floor, the door to the room flew open by itself. And if you remember, I was the only one in the house outside of my parents at the time. All of our dogs were in the room with us, all our cats, whatever. And it was a pretty sturdy door. It's not something that the wind could have blown open by itself or anything like that. And it just whooshes open by itself. And I remember my mom waking up because it slammed against the wall. And she yelled at me and told me to close the door. So I just kind of swallowed. I was like, okay, and closed the door. Now, I don't know if maybe my mind was just playing tricks on me or something did happen, or in the case of the light switch, maybe there was something electrical that was going on, but it was not an isolated incident. I had several paranormal experiences in that house that I grew up in, and throughout my entire life from that point. I've always been, I don't know if you would say sensitive or empathic or whatever you would call it, but I've always had a knack for being exposed to that kind of thing. And funnily enough, about in August, I went to a Titanic museum that is in Branson, Missouri, after listening to one of your podcasts about the Titanic. And I remember walking through the museum, and there were several artifacts from the wreck itself. And I just remember getting extremely overwhelmed and uncomfortable, and I don't want to say sad, but just it was just a strong feeling there that I couldn't get out of the museum fast enough. I have several more stories to tell you. I'm sure if you would like, I will call back in or write in someday to share some more. They range from keyboards turning on by themselves to possible possession. But I love your guys' show. It's great. You two are hilarious, and I love the atmosphere that you guys bring to this sort of thing. Also, I know that you guys live in Wichita, and I actually work at the original Hertz Donut in Springfield, and we just opened one up in Wichita, I believe, in August. So if you're ever out there, stop by, give us a try, and maybe let us know how you feel. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Incidentally, it's not that far from where we live.
And we make a trip there about once a week.
Yeah.
And oh my God, they have a donut called Bacon Me Crazy. And it's a long donut with maple frosting and bacon covering the top. It's amazing. It's my favorite.
It's a nice donut establishment. So I didn't know that there was another one in another place. I actually thought that was the first one that just showed up here. But
no, I knew it was a chain. I didn't realize it was in Springfield.
Well, that's cool. Mm-hmm. And we have a listener who makes the donuts.
And I think he's sensitive sounding.
You think?
What he's saying. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what I would call it.
Sure. Yeah. Especially going through a museum like that, if you are sensitive, you're going to pick up on those sort of cues of, you know, what those objects were through and exactly what happened. It's the same if you went to, you know, the Holocaust Museum or any other museum that has a lot of artifacts in it from situations that were horrific.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sensitive, you're going to pick up on those things. As far as what was going on around the house, you could find some somewhat logical explanations, but, you know, a lot of them you could also probably weed out, too, is like the door slamming, this and that. It really, you know, there's a couple things you want to look at. Number one, was there any doors open to the outside? Now, so much around here in this part of the country, that doesn't seem to happen so much, but I remember being a kid, I don't know why up north, if that's just more common for this to happen or just we had really shitty light doors, mm-hmm. like all the doors to the bedrooms, I think, were hollow and they were very light. And I'm sure that, you know, leans to a moving a lot easier with less effort. But my God, all summer long, whenever you have the doors open and pressure's changing, our doors were always slamming by themselves.
Well, that's because you guys use open windows
sure.
to cool the house a lot more than we do down here.
Exactly.
It's so much hotter down here. We always have the air conditioner on.
Exactly. So, I mean, if that's not the case, then I think there's certainly something paranormal going on.
Yeah.
It's one of those things you got to kind of weed out, because there's a couple things that you could go, wow, that's really weird. And especially if you have something else, and I'm not referring to his story, I'm just saying in general.
Mm-hmm.
If you have something strange, let's say you have a loved one who recently died. You could easily misconstrue signs with some normal things that can happen,
mm-hmm.
like the door thing, if you're in an area that you're not used to having that happen at. I could totally see someone who is not used to doors slamming on their own because of the pressure changes and all of that being really weirded out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the hell? But I grew up with that. So I'm like, yeah, it's normal. You know, not a ghost. It's just, that's what it is. Some strange electrical phenomena too. That's very common. We were just experiencing that again the other night. We have this little puzzle thing.
Oh, I hate that puzzle.
For our little one. And it has like a siren in it for a police car and a fire engine. And you put the pieces in the puzzle. And when you put them in there, it makes the noise of said piece.
Yeah.
However, it is also activated when you turn a light switch on or off nearby it for whatever reason. And it took us a little while to figure that out. But it's not supposed to be activated by that. But for whatever reason, the magnetic or electrical fields that are activated when you turn a light switch on somehow trigger this little device.
And
so
it's so frequent that it happens. We have to take the puzzle out of our daughter's room at night so that when we go check on her, if we turn the light off or turn it on to check on her, that the puzzle doesn't go off and wake her up.
Yeah, because it's triggered at all these random times.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of creepy the first couple of times. But you have to look at all of the options as far as what could possibly be there. And I think he has. I really do. Just wanted to, you know, just share some of that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi. We rent out rooms in our basement of our house. And we had a lady living there as well as a man. And her name was Bernadette, and the other guy was Rodney. And they both live in separate rooms. They were really nice people and everything, and we got to know them pretty good. Well, my wife, we lived down in the basement too, and we saw, or my wife had a dream and saw Bernadette in the dream young, really, really young. And when she woke that morning, she told me all about the dream, and she said, you know, she kind of dreamed that she died and everything, and saw her young and everything, and we didn't think nothing else about it. But anyway, a few weeks later, Bernadette got depressed and killed herself in our basement and took every pill she had. And from that point on, the entire basement area was just full of darkness, and you could just feel it everywhere you looked, and it was just total darkness, and you could just, it just was just horrible. Anyway, we were really distraught over that and everything, and she had another dream. My wife had another dream, and she dreamed her own cat told her that Bernadette was in her room at that time. So she dreamed, she went to Bernadette's room in her dream and saw Bernadette in the mirror, and Bernadette was directly behind her and was crying and telling her that she was really sorry and didn't really mean to kill herself or anything like that. And that was her dream. She woke up, she told me all about it and everything, and we were pretty scared about all that. And it wasn't long after that I was sleeping, and I've never heard anything scary in the whole house ever, except for one time before. We had like a poltergeist come through and screaming. And we went upstairs and there was nothing. But anyway, I was laying there dead asleep, and I hear a voice wake me up out of my sleep, and it said, "There's someone in the room." And I'm looking next to me to see maybe if my wife said that, and maybe she's pointing at something or whatever, and I don't see nothing. There's nothing there. And then I realized it wasn't even her voice that said that. So I stayed up all night, and then the next day it freaked her out. We just all freaked out. So we saged the place and put sage everywhere. And then I guess thing you know, I mean, the whole house was just full of light, full of goodness. And it was just much better. And about a few months later, Rodney ended up drinking himself to death in his room. And he just pretty much killed himself, just drinking himself to death. And the house is now kind of back full of darkness again, but nothing really has happened, but it just feels ominous around the whole place. But that's my story. Thanks for listening.
Okay. I'm kind of inclined to think that there's some negative energy that was there before.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, especially since he kind of touched on poltergeist activity and screaming when there wasn't anybody upstairs, that there was just something negative, and that can definitely have an effect on people who are kind of predisposed to, you know, being depressed and kind of play into that. So it makes me wonder if that's part of what affected Bernadette and Rodney versus the negative energy coming in because of what happened to them.
Something feeding in.
Yeah.
To them and essentially making things worse.
Yeah.
Not necessarily them bringing it in, but it's already been there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that very much so in that case. Sad ending to that story. Thank you for sharing it with us. 855-853-4802. I'm just, Facebook is working again, by the way. I got that photo downloaded and posted up to our gallery section, the creepy skull picture. I was just checking some of the other photos that have been sent in to us. And here's a fun one. It's an old timey one, you know, those old black and whites of kids playing outside at Christmas time in the snow. Well, here they are with their mom bringing them to go visit Krampus.
Oh, gosh.
And it just looks like, you know, somebody dressed as Krampus, just as if you'd have someone dressed as Santa Claus.
Ew.
And it's just like, oh, it's just normal. It's just part of the season.
Well, it probably has a lot more effect than just saying Santa's not going to come.
It does.
If you're bad.
It does.
It's like, here is who is going to come if you're bad.
I wonder if anyone's going to take this up now that there's a mainstream movie coming out about Krampus.
I know that you're not.
I also saw a bunch of people posted links to the English trailer is now out.
Okay.
Of Krampus. So I'll have to check that out. Because for a while, it was just the German one, which was kind of creepy in itself. Just listening to the German trailer for Krampus was kind of like, I don't know, I could probably watch this whole thing in German and be just as creeped out.
And it didn't give you warm fuzzies?
It really didn't. It did not give me warm fuzzies. It looks like it's going to be a pretty messed up, creepy movie, which I'm, of course, very excited about. And it's something that we're going to watch on Christmas Eve night.
I want to know if anybody's seen, what is that movie that it's like the kids go visit their grandparents and their grandparents aren't right. Have you seen the ad for that?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And it had horrific reviews.
Okay, because I was wondering how that was.
I don't recall what it's called and I don't recall the director, but I heard something about it. I think I heard the review on NPR about it. And it's a fairly famous director who's done a lot of other horror movies. And they were just like, was he drunk? Like, what the hell was wrong with this man? How did he go from like really good in this genre to like creating this thing?
Okay.
Like it was almost like worse than a made for VHS movie.
Wow.
And I'm saying that as in today. And I know now you say, you know, made for DVD mm-hmm. or made for, I'm saying worse than made for VHS. Like they wouldn't even have a budget to put it on DVD. It's only going to VHS.
Well, that's too bad. I was kind of hoping it would be
a
good one.
It like some of the previews looked like it could be okay, but then it was like, yeah, this looks a little odd. Anyway.
Okay.
So I that's just a review I heard. I don't know. I'm going to tend to believe it because I kind of had a weird feeling about it. And most of the times when I have those weird feelings, like the movie's probably going to suck, it usually sucks.
Okay.
Usually has that effect. Hotel Transylvania 2, we saw that was that there. Speaking of spookiness, if you have kids, it's a good one to go see. And I do not enjoy animated movies all that much. It's really hard for me to sit through one. I was able to sit through it and actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
I thought there was a lot of funny parts to it if you're an adult. They throw a lot of nuggets at you to go, oh, you're still watching. See, we're going to make this fun for you too, which is nice.
Yeah.
I like that. I thought it was a really well done done movie, a good creepy one for the kids too, and not too over the top. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Alicia, hi.
Hi, my name is Alicia, and I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I have a story. This is just a few years ago. I lived in an apartment in the Pilsen neighborhood, a little bit south of like the South Loop neighborhood, while I was in college. I lived with three other girls, and the apartment we lived in was like vacant for a couple of years before we moved in, and we had no idea why. It was gorgeous, and it was two stories, had a spiral staircase going up to the top. So I lived on top in like a lofted area, and while we were living there, people would come over and say they always got like this eerie feeling that people were watching them or something was watching them. It was really interesting. And then we would hear things every so often and we would kind of just not make a big deal out of it. But then one day there was a back porch up in my bedroom that you can get to only from the inside of the apartment. So one day my sister went up there and it was the middle of the summer, probably like 100 degrees, so we had the air on. And she yelled down, she's like, Alicia, why would you leave the back door open? The air's on and it's 100 degrees out. She said, I didn't have the door open. I was just up there. I wouldn't have opened during the summer. So I go up there and we're kind of confused a little bit, but the first thing I think is that, oh my gosh, somebody tried to break in. But there was no sense of breaking in, and you cannot get to the back deck from the outside of the house. So we thought, huh, that's weird. Come downstairs, and we're talking about it while we're in the kitchen, and then all of a sudden we hear, it sounded like a book. Somebody picked up a book and dropped it on the floor right above our heads. So when this happens, I get a little bit nervous. And we've always had these kind of, like, ghostly experiences happening our entire lives. So I think we're one of those people where ghosts kind of follow us. So we got a little bit nervous, and then our other roommate came home. So we're sitting there telling her what's happening, and we hear another noise. So we have a friend that feels that she and her husband can, like, sense these spirit things. So we give her a call, and we say, hey, come over to our place because we hear something, and it's, like, really freaking us out. It's kind of late at night, maybe around 10:30, 11 o'clock, so she's like, oh my goodness, we're going to come with, like, a video recorder, holy water, and we'll be right there. So when she hangs up, I'm in the kitchen, and I'm relaying the message to my roommates, and we have, like, a wooden cupboard in the kitchen because there wasn't a pantry, so I'm leaning against it while I'm telling them the story, or I'm telling them that my friends are coming over, so I say, they'll be here in, like, 20 minutes. So we're standing there, it gets quiet, and right next to my ear on this wooden cupboard, somebody knocks 3 times. We freak out, lock ourselves in the bedroom, and I'm just like, what is going on? This is absolutely terrifying. So I said, why did we just lock ourselves in the bedroom if it's a ghost? This is stupid. So we picked up our stuff, and we ran outside, and I said, I'm not going back inside until our two other friends get there. So once our two friends come in, I say, we're hearing these noises upstairs, but then this thing just knocked on the cupboard. So we go upstairs, and my friend's husband says that he's feeling some sort of presence. So I don't know if he's just kind of BSing with us or if this was, like, real, but he's like, there's definitely something up here that doesn't know what's going on because we had just moved in, and he was, like, whatever it was alone for so long. So I said, well, you need to tell it to get out because we live here now. And while we're, like, discussing this, his wife is taking pictures on this video camera and trying to catch it on camera to see if she can see it or something like that. So her husband says, hey, stop taking pictures of it. It's starting to get irritated. So at this point, we still don't know, but I'm totally being gullible and believing everything my friend is saying. And she's like, no, I want to get it on camera. That way we can figure out if it's a boy or a girl or, like, whatever the case is. So then her husband's mood completely changed. And all the hairs on his body, like, stood up. He had goosebumps. And he was like, no, stop what you're doing. It's mad. It does not want you taking pictures. We need to get out right now. Like, get out of the upstairs. So I was not about to be the one to make this ghost even more upset. So I ran down the spiral staircase, and the three others were there to follow. So they came down too. I kid you not, as soon as the last person got off the bottom step, the lights in my bedroom started flickering, and we saw books, and you can hear them, like, flying around the room and getting thrown against the wall. And then it was happening for maybe about a minute or so, and then everything just went silent. And we were like, what the heck? So we went back upstairs, and nothing was moved or misplaced or anything. It was like nothing happened, but we all heard it, and we all saw it, and it was absolutely terrifying. So I said, I'm not going back up there tonight. And we all slept in the living room. We pulled out some mattresses and the couches. My sister, though, was not about it. She didn't want to believe it, so she went to bed. Then the next morning, she came out and woke us up and said when she was sleeping, she felt somebody pull the covers off her legs. It was so creepy. And this was only within the first 3 months of living in this apartment, and we had signed a full year lease. Our friends told us we were crazy because we finished out the entire 12 months in the lease. And other stuff started happening too, but that was probably the most intense. I think after a while, I had my... My mom came over. We're, like, religious, and we did a rosary and sprayed holy water in every corner and said prayers everywhere, and then the presence kind of drifted, and it got less intense over the month. And after 12 months ended, we just left, and that was that. And it was pretty crazy, and none of my friends believe it, but it totally happened, except for, like, the 6 of us that were there that night. So, yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. Sounds like it was a fun night with friends.
I wonder if maybe it's not so much there's something following them as they are attracted to places that have a certain type of energy.
The friends?
The Alicia.
Okay.
And whoever rented out that apartment.
Sure. Well, I suppose that could make sense. I mean, when you go into a place, sometimes, oh, it just feels like home.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that feeling of, oh, it just feels like home, maybe a location for whatever reason, that feeling to you also is somewhat paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And has, you know, everyone has their definition of what they like.
Yeah.
Some, you know, some like the color green, some like the color blue. And sometimes it just happens to be that what you like is something like that.
Yeah.
Without even knowing it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Without knowing it, being like, oh, this feels haunted. I want to move in.
Yeah.
It's more so this just feels normal.
Mm-hmm. And that may be one of those things that you get accustomed to because maybe you grew up in a haunted house, whether you knew it or not,
mm-hmm.
or you had the energy around you. And that feeling, that aura around you just feels like home. And it really has nothing to do with the... you realizing it's haunted. It's just having that similar feeling that you've been so accustomed to.
Yeah.
It's conditioning.
It is.
Conditioning to like the haunted.
Yeah.
There you go. Interesting story. Thank you for sharing with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number, of course, to call into Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, if you like the show, please support it. Help keep us on the air. Become an EPP. Extra podcast person. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you in advance for doing that. You'll love it. All those bonus episodes you get immediate access to, and a brand new one every single week that we put out for you with some great, great ghost stories on, especially here in the month of October. So check that out and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.